We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning then, and we're looking at these verses which speak about God sanctifying believers. In verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify means set apart for God. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24. On a number of occasions in this letter already, Paul has spoken about what it means to be justified, what it means to be accepted before God. Justification is a legal standing, something that God does. It's the same for every Christian. Every believer here in Jesus Christ this morning is justified at the throne of God. It is, as someone has said, you stand before God just as if you had never sinned. But sanctify is something that then God begins to do in the life of the Christian. This is not a legal standing before God. This is an internal condition. God works, we cooperate. And sanctification this morning is greater in some believers than in others. We all need to be sanctified more fully, though, because we will never be made perfect in this life. But as Paul in 1 Thessalonians has spoken about sexual morality, brotherly love, the Christian in the workplace, emotional response to bereavement, written about church leaders, church members, what to do if you feel you've been wronged, warning the unruly. Paul has already on a number of occasions been speaking then about a change that God works in the believer, this word sanctify. It's called sanctification. And that's the area we're going to concentrate on this morning. So I want to look first of all at the stages of sanctification. Because sanctification is a definite beginning. And it has a beginning when you become a Christian, when you're born again, when you put your whole faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian here this morning, then you haven't begun on this path of sanctification. Yes, there are people in this world who try at moral self-improvement. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. You notice he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. This is something God does in the heart and life of a believer. And that initial work of God, being set apart for God, has a definite beginning when you put your whole trust in Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1, verse 5, for example, Paul writes to them, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. So they believed the gospel. The gospel came to them in power by the Holy Spirit, and they trusted in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So it's to those people, people for whom the gospel has come in power, who have turned to God from whatever they had put first in their lives previously, and who are now waiting for Jesus Christ and his return to this world, that Paul now exhorts and prays, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So that initial step in sanctification, when you become a believer, there is a break. The believer is no longer ruled, dominated by sin, but turns from idolatry, from sin, to serve the living and true God. Do you know anything of that this morning? A time when God, at a particular time, over a particular period, perhaps over a long period of time, worked in your life to change you and to turn you from a path of unbelief and living for the idols of your own heart, to trust and embrace Jesus Christ as your Saviour and to live for him. You see, if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not justified, well then, you know nothing of this work of sanctification that God does. Growth and change, likeness to Jesus Christ. If you're not trusted in that Saviour, my plea to you this morning is trust in and turn to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you are sinking in unbelief and in danger under the judgment of God. But if you're a Christian this morning, then the Bible is saying there are two things that are true of you. On the one hand, you will never be able to say in this world that you are completely free of sin. Verse 23 and the second half of the verse, may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no Christian here this morning who doesn't have further stages of sanctification, because in the preacher, the congregation, all of us, none of us are completely free from sin. But on the other hand, the Christian must never say, this sin has so defeated me that I give up. I've had a bad temper for 40 years as a Christian, and I'll just have to carry on with it. People just have to put up with it the way I am, and I'm going to have to put up with it the way I am until the day I die. No, that's to say that sin has gained dominion over you. The Bible tells you, do not allow sin to reign in your body. Don't admit defeat. Don't deny the truth of Scripture, which tells you that in Christ, if you're a believer, sin does not have that dominion over you. Sanctification is a beginning. It will carry on through this life. But the believer, something has happened. A break has been made with the power and dominion of sin. And also this verse is telling us that this sanctification then, this being set apart to God, increases through the life of a Christian. Though there's a definite beginning, here's a process. Your task this morning as a Christian is to grow more and more in sanctification. It seems to me that holiness is a theme that's very important and stressed in the Bible, but which is much neglected, sadly, often, in today's church. The Bible is clear. The real Christian grows in sanctification. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So just in that little statue that I showed the children, where someone was chipping away at the rock to make something beautiful and transforming a rough piece of rock into a statue. So God is chipping away in your life and mine, and wanting to make you and me more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here is telling the Thessalonians to grow in likeness to Jesus Christ. And Paul expects, he anticipates, that that sanctification will increase all through the Christian life. And this is something that reveals the difference between the true Christian and the person who has just a nominal outward profession of faith, but the root of the matter is not really there. Here's evidence of true saving faith. Paul doesn't say, now may the God of peace himself give you £1 million, give you perfect health, give you a new car. That's not what he's talking about. No, he says the sign of the real Christian, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Here's the great blessing that a Christian longs for. Likeness to Jesus Christ. To be rid of this terrible evil of sin. Now the person's got a name, nominally Christian, but who is spiritually, really spiritually dead, isn't so concerned about this. What's the big deal? More and more like Jesus Christ. But for the real Christian, here is something of vital importance. Here's a test by your reaction this morning. Do you have this desire to be more like Jesus. Because Paul here says, sanctification will only be completed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we will continue to struggle with sin in this world. Your sanctification will never be completed in this life. But when Jesus Christ returns, we shall be changed, given a new resurrection body. You await the coming of Jesus from heaven. And at his coming, you'll be made alive with a resurrection body, and sin, your worst enemy before, will vex your eyes and ears no more. Sanctification will be completed. Now, because sanctification is not completed then in this life, that's not an excuse not to strive after holiness, likeness for Jesus Christ. Make use of all the God-given means that we might be transformed and changed, made more like Jesus. Christian fellowship, God's word, prayer. Don't lose hope of making progress in the Christian life. Make use of all the means God helps you with. Sometimes the Christian asks, will this struggle against sin never end? Will I go through a day without confessing my sins, my coldness of heart, my wandering thoughts? O wretched man that I am, said Paul, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now you see, the fact that he even thinks like that is a reminder to us. There was a time when Paul couldn't have cared less about that. He was a persecutor of the church. But now, for the real believer, and this tremendous consolation then, the fact that you have the desire after God helps you to look to the day when God will complete in us the work that he's begun. The work that his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. Paul says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So the first thing we see here, there are stages in sanctification. It has a definite beginning when a person becomes a believer. It is to increase throughout the Christian life, and it'll be completed when Jesus Christ returns. Secondly, we see here, God and man cooperate in sanctification. This verse stresses God's role. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. If we were to literally translate what was written, it would be something like this. Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you completely. The emphasis is on God, what God does. And of course, that's a theme in the Bible. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God is the author of sanctification. He causes you to want his will and gives you the power to do his will out of love for him, thankfulness for Jesus Christ and his salvation. The Christian desires to be made more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit works within you. He gives you the power to have greater holiness in your life. It is by the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit develops. You walk in the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You're more and more aware of the promptings and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. He produces holiness, then, sanctification in your life. But the Bible also reminds us that we have a part in sanctification too. A passive and an active part. Yes, it is God who is the author. But listen to Paul in Romans 6, verse 13. Present yourselves to God, he says, as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That is something you do, says Paul. God is the author, but you this morning present yourself to God, he says. Now, sometimes that yielding to God, that trusting and entrusting yourself to God and to his work, is emphasized so much that people get the wrong idea that our role in sanctification is just let go and let God. You may have heard of that phrase. And that's given sometimes as if it's the whole summary of the whole Christian life, let go and let God. Now that's a distortion. It speaks about one part. But if you just emphasize that one thing, the danger is the Christian becomes lazy and neglects the active role that the Bible speaks about, which is our role too in cooperating with God, who is the author of sanctification. Yes, we are to present ourselves to God, but there is something active as well that Paul has spoken about all the way through this letter. So, for example, chapter 1, verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. How did they become examples like that? Because they became a follower, says Paul. They followed us. They followed the Lord. That's active. Chapter 2, verse 12. Walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That's something you do. You walk worthy of God. Chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. They saw a pattern of Christian life, which exhorted and encouraged and helped them as they were seeking to follow Jesus Christ themselves. Chapter 3, verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. That's something they did. They stood fast. Chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. In your walk, says Paul, please God. Chapter 4, verse 3. Possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. And so we could go through the whole letter like that. The New Testament doesn't give any shortcuts in sanctification. Our part, you're encouraged to be active in the time-honored means of sanctification for the believer. What are they? Bible reading and meditation. Delighting in the law of God day and night. Prayer. Pray without ceasing. The Bible says, witnessing, speaking to others about Jesus Christ, Christian fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the discipline of the Christian life, following Jesus Christ, and then bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit, giving no place for the flesh, but yielding ourselves to God. So it's important this morning we see you grow in trust for the Lord Jesus Christ. You look to him. God is the author to sanctify you. But you don't neglect striving to obey God. You don't just become passive, lazy. If you neglect trusting God and yielding to him, you'll become proud and self-confident. No, there is this active role too. There's this corporate process in the New Testament. And it's something that's usually emphasized in the New Testament in community. Christians are gathered together, built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood. They're a holy nation. They gather together. They encourage one another. They spur one another on. If you wanted to do a Bible study on the one another's of the New Testament, there are many, many one another's, praying for one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, confessing our sins to one another, one another, one another, one another. You don't live in, if you're going to be sanctified as an isolated Christian, cut off from other believers, you grow cold, you're weak, you're more vulnerable. No, this community aspect is important. God and man cooperate in sanctification. God is the author, yes. We are to yield ourselves to God, but there are means. God, who is the author, gives the means of sanctification for us too. So there are stages of sanctification. God and man cooperate in sanctification. Thirdly, sanctification affects the whole person. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So this is something that affects your intellect, your knowledge, growth in wisdom. You're to seek to make every thought captive to Jesus Christ. That you become more and more aware your thoughts are the thoughts that God gives through his word and by the Spirit. Thinking God's thoughts after him. You see, without the Bible, we are left to our own devices. We'll go astray very quickly. No, your knowledge, how you think, what you believe, the thought processes of your mind, more and more shaped by the word of God. Growth in sanctification will affect your emotions. Joy, peace, love, patience. You'll find it increasingly true if you follow after Jesus Christ that you will not love the world or the things that are in the world, but you, like the Saviour, will delight to do God's will. Jesus prayed for us, not that we be taken out of the world, but that we be preserved wholly in the world, living for him. So put away all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamour, and slander and gossip. And you'll have holy emotions then. Love, joy, peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, moreover, sanctification will have an effect on your will, your decision making. Because God is at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure. So your will is to be more and more conformed to the will of your Father in heaven. So how you think, your emotional life, your decision making. Paul speaks here, your sanctification affecting your whole spirit and soul. Cleanse yourself from every defilement of the body and the spirit, says the Bible. Follow after holiness in the fear of the Lord. Sanctification even affecting the body, says Paul. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You become more and more a useful servant of Jesus Christ. More and more responsive to God. More and more aware of the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not letting sin reign in your body. Not allowing your body to be involved in any way in immorality. We don't believe in this false distinction between the soul and the body. Soul good, the body bad. No, says Paul, you notice here. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are groups who claim to know the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul and who are practicing immorality in the body. What has happened? There is a false distinction there. If sanctification is real, it will affect the body. You're careful. Soul, spirit, and body. Because you recognize this in this body, that the Holy Spirit is at work in you in this life. Therefore, the body is not to be misused, not to be left under the reign of sin, not to be abused or mistreated, but to be made useful and to respond to God's will. And you see, Paul is saying, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. This will bring great joy to the believer. The more you grow in likeness to Jesus Christ, the more you experience the joy and peace that are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the more you get near to the kind of life that you will have one day in heaven. Because at that day, sanctification will be brought to its completion and the believer will be glorified, made perfectly like Jesus Christ. We shall see him, says the Bible, and be like him. Are you looking forward to that day? And as you look to that day, become then more and more ready for that day, in likeness for that day, more and more obedient to God, more and more like Jesus Christ. As you grow in holiness, the more Jesus' beauty, Jesus' character, Jesus' life is seen in your body, soul, and spirit. That's the goal then of sanctification. Are you longing for it, hoping for it? It will be yours, says Paul. If you're a believer here this morning, if you're a Christian, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you have this assurance, it will be yours. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So believer this morning, believe God's word. God is faithful. He will do it. Look for that day. And in readiness for that day now, use all the means that God has given that we might be made more and more like Jesus Christ. And what will that do for the life and witness of the Church of Jesus Christ? It will make it, as the world is darker and darker, it will make the life of the believer shine ever more brightly in the darkness. Men and women who are living for Jesus Christ. So there's something about them that's different. Something that's set apart. I was very struck when Sean's wife on Thursday night, Natasha, spoke about what prompted her to find out about the Christian faith. She went onto a Christianity Explored course, similar to the courses we run here from time to time to teach people what it means to be a Christian. What prompted her, though, to ask about going on a course like that in a church? She said, well, this funny thing happened in the workplace. The people she met who were kind, who were different, who didn't gossip behind her back about her, there was something about them. What she discovered, though she'd been brought up in an atheist home, is again and again, these people whose lives were different, they were Christians. So she thought to herself, I'd better find out, what is it that makes these people different? That'd be a great testimony for us, wouldn't it? Living lives that are different in this world, sanctified, made more and more like Jesus Christ. That people might ask, well, what is it about that person that makes him, that makes her different? Ah, that's because they're a Christian. I'd better find out more what it means to be a real Christian. And we await that great day when the God who is faithful, who will do it, will bring the work to its glorious completion. Let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that Jesus Christ, the great Saviour, at work in us by his word and spirit, is carrying out this great work of sanctification, being changed, made more and more like the Saviour. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that the God who is faithful will do it, that there will come a day when we shall see him, be like him, the Saviour, when we shall rejoice with a joy unspeakable, full of glory. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. But Lord, as we wait that great day when sin will be completely put away, you will teach us, Lord, that way of joy and peace in this world, of living for Christ, being made more holy, growing in sanctification, increasing sanctification in our lives. Lord, make it true of each one of us, and of the life and witness of this church as we reach out with good news to needy people all around us. Lord, help us. We come to you this morning, confessing afresh our sins, but thanking you for the work of your Spirit in us. And as we yield ourselves this morning to the God of salvation, as we take hold of Jesus Christ and use all the means of grace, Lord, we pray that this process of sanctification may grow in each one of us, to the glory of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, gave himself for us. And we pray in his name, trusting and believing. For Jesus' sake, amen. While I was away for a few weeks, I came across a new hymn book, which I've never seen before. And when I was looking for hymns that linked into the theme this morning that we're looking at, I found a hymn in the new hymn book, to a tune which I'm sure we'll know, which seemed to fit very well. The hymn book, if any of you have heard of it, is called the Trinity Hymn Book. But we're going to sing one of their hymns, which is not in our hymn book, but it's from an American hymn book, I think. But here it is, Saviour, Blessed Saviour. And see how he puts it there? All we have to offer, all we hope to be, body, soul, and spirit. That's the part that caught my attention, because Paul talks about soul, spirit, body. All we yield to thee. So we'll stand to sing this together. Let's pray then. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all the people of God, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.